Presenting radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop.
Off and on, I know Pete Samuels a matter of 8 or 10 years, up and down Broadway and in and out. But I never have much truck with him because Pete Samuels is generally broke, and there is no percentage hanging around with brokers.
Today, the Columbia Workshop introduces the slightly fabulous New York characters created by Damon Runyon, one of America's most successful writers of short stories. These characters speak in an idiom of Broadway, which may be identified as Runyonese. You will encounter several of Mr. Runyon's particular friends, notably Pete Samuels.
I always try to rub up against money, for if you rub up against money long enough, some of it'll rub off on you.
The girl in Pete's life is Hortense. She's so beautiful that Pete can't stand it.
Well, as for me, I've come up the hard way, clear from Newark, which is in New Jersey.
Then there's the Brain, who is called the Brain because he is so smart and the only guy who always has the dough.
Me, I got a simple rule. When I loan a guy money, I insist upon getting it back, or some very unusual things will happen to the guy.
Pretend like now it's Mr. Damon Runyon himself to explain the story of a very honorable guy. Pete Samuels is a big, heavy guy with very funny feet. Dave the Dude says Pete wears violin cases for shoes. Of course, this is not really true because Pete cannot get either of his feet in a violin case, unless it is a case for a very large violin, such as a cello. The remarkable thing about Pete's feet is they go off in different directions under him, very sharp. So if you see Pete standing on a corner, it is very difficult to tell which way he is going. As a matter of fact, the boys make small wages on this latter proposition from time to time. Well, Pete is in a nightclub called the Hot Box, dancing with a showgirl called Hortense Hathaway. Hortense is a big blonde with plenty to say. She is standing on Pete's feet as if she is on sled runners, and Pete never knows it. He only thinks the old gondolas are a little extra heavy to shove around this night, because Hortense is no invalid. In fact, she's a good, rangy welterweight. It's plain that Pete is very fond of her indeed, and it takes plenty of dough to be fond of a doll like Hortense. She's one of those babies who is never happy unless she covers 5 hot spots in one evening.
Hortense, these are such moments as I go for when we are strictly cheek to cheek.
That is nice, Pete, because I'm having the same thoughts myself.
And the fact that you are extremely lovely tells me I'm the envy of the joint.
That is certain. From what I see, there is very little class here tonight besides us.
I have not noticed because I'm only thinking about you. To the rest, I'm unconscious.
Pete.
Yes, sugar?
Let us go back to the table and call for the check.
There's no hurry, Hortense.
I wish to go somewhere else.
Baby, I prefer to rest here and admire your beauties.
And are you admiring my new bracelet?
That little piece of chipped ice. Who gave you that bit of crockery?
A gentleman. It's more than you ever gave me.
I'll provide you with so many bracelets you won't be able to bend your elbow.
When, feet, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, you were temporarily right on now.
Monsieur Feet, if you please.
Some other time, Henri. We do not wish to be cut in on, and anyhow, Hortense has no yen to dance with a help in this joint.
Monsieur Feet, I implore you to dance every other 10th dance. The customers are complaining they cannot get on the dance floor.
Why not, I'd like to know?
Because Monsieur Feet's feet are so large, no? And the dance floor is so small, yes?
Well, of all the nerve.
Well, I assure you I regret it, madame.
Never mind. Come on, Feet, let's get out of this joint.
You grieve me greatly. But if you wish to settle the check...
The check? Oh, yeah. How do you clock it?
Exactly 28 bucks.
That was 28, you mentioned?
Maybe the gentleman wishes to add it up in great detail?
No, no, but it happens by a sudden thought I conclude that we are not in such a hurry after all.
Oh.
Just drop a check on the table. If I change my mind, I'll call you.
Well, whenever you like.
You look funny, Pete. Aren't you feeling well?
I suddenly feel a slight chill with hot flashes. And a very large discomfort is coming over me.
Well, settle up with Henry and let's scram.
Wait a minute, Horty. Just rest yourself here.
What now, sugar?
I see Big Ben over there, which reminds me of a small proposition I wish to make him.
Pete, we have very little time to dally over a piece of business.
But it only takes me 2 minutes, Horty, though it'll seem like 2 years, more or less.
Well, hurry up, precious. This place is beginning to get in my hair.
Pete, glad you came over.
Oh, Ben, it is indeed fortunate that you were in this joint and I get a gander at you as I'm leaving.
Pete, this here is my pal, the Brain.
Hiya.
I'm happy to meet you. Ben, I would like to make a little...
Don't ask. I am very light. In fact, without dough of any description whatsoever.
My condition at this time is very critical. This joint puts a bite on me for 28 clams, and I'm holding not more than 4 bob, including a few nickels and dimes.
Oh, that's tough, Pete. Yeah, but look, the Brain here runs a modest financial business.
They're very modest.
My luck must be changing to steer me into such a windfall.
Hey, you hear how light Feet is, Brain? Maybe you could stake him to a few slugs here.
No, I ain't so sure it's a safe investment.
If I am not in such critical shape, I will take offense at such a slurring crack.
Feet is a very honorable guy, Brain. I will guarantee him personally.
Why you need this dough?
To tally up with Henri here and round off a few outstanding odds and ends.
Feet always makes good. His reputation is perfect.
I managed to get along for many years now. As a matter of fact, I had to make my own living since I'm 11 years old.
What'd you do before that?
Maybe he was going to college. Go on, slip him a few skins.
Ordinarily, at this season, I will be in Miami or Havana with the other hands, making myself a little honest scratch at the tracks, counseling the citizens of what horses to bet on. But since I trip over this doll, Hortense Hathaway, I decide to stay here for the pinochle, especially since I win this all-wool overcoat off of Nick the Greek in 2 rounds of casino.
Well, how much you want to pinch me for?
Outside the 4 bob I mentioned before, I am clean as a baby's mind.
How much?
$100 will spring me here and leave me a bob or two for my hard-hearted landlady who was beyond listening to reason.
Well, now a C note is a bit high. Will half a C take the heat off?
I do not wish to dicker, and I'm grateful at that. It would distress me for Hortense to look on while I square a $28 B for the owner of this box.
You know, sometimes a guy owing $50 naturally has a great desire to take it on the whiz.
Feed is not going to do such a thing as long as Hortense is around. I can see one hair of her head is stronger than the Atlantic cable.
Oh, well, now I'm very glad to hear this. All right, I expect the half a C to come home Monday night, 6 sharp, plus $5 interest.
That's very little time to round up such a sum, but I'll give the proposition plenty of attention.
A little bird tells me you're sometimes negligee about your obligation.
I too hear these lies about Feet, but at least half of them are run through. He's not so bad as many thousands of citizens think.
Yeah. All right. Okay, here's the 50. And remember, Monday night, 6 o'clock, or I'll be very impatient.
I will keep it in mind. Good evening.
I'll lay 200 to 100 that this pancake I just saved from rack and ruin don't pay off in time.
I'll take it.
What's so funny?
There's one thing about Feet Samuels. He is a very honorable guy. You've practically handed me a couple of C-notes.
It comes up Monday. Feet walks into Mindy's restaurant, where he sees Big Ben sitting at a table putting on the Irish stew, which is a dish he is very fond of.
How are things, Ben?
So, Fate. Sit down.
Thank you.
Hey, you look kind of chopped down. Is anything wrong, more than usual, I mean?
I'm disgusted with being broke. I never have more than a few quarters to rub together in my pants pocket. And the toughest thing of all, I am in love. I'm in love with Hortense.
Hortense? Well, Hortense is nothing but a...
Stop right here. I will not have her called a big baloney or whatever else big you're going to call her because I love her. I cannot live without her. In fact, I do not wish to live without her.
Does Hortense know you feel this way about her?
No, and I'm ashamed to tell her, because naturally she'll expect some proof like a diamond bracelet. And naturally I cannot give her this. But I think she likes me more than somewhat, because she looks at me in a certain way.
Hey, maybe she goes for you without the hardware.
But there's some other guy who likes her also, and who's buying her diamond bracelets left and right, which makes it very tough on me.
Oh, who is this guy?
I do not know, and I do not think Hortense cares for him so much. But naturally, any doll must give serious consideration to a guy who can buy a diamond bracelet.
Naturally.
All day yesterday, I'm laying in bed thinking. And I have decided to do a very desperate act.
You're not going to go to work.
I've even given that consideration. But it does not promise the large, coarse banknotes I need. I run a few loads of Friday Joe's scotch down to Philly to have it labeled. But I learn this is against the law, and I'm liable to end up in a pokey. And besides, I cannot stand fresh air, even with the windows closed.
I understand Rusty Charlie's looking for a stick man.
No, the rolling of dice is very pleasant to my ears, but very bad for my blood pressure. And Rusty Charlie is such a character as to make my arteries harden right out loud.
A taxi jockey ain't a bad dodge. I understand there is a good percentage in finding stuff under the seat.
That's like looking for poils and oysters.
Yeah, there ought to be some way for a guy to turn an honest bob in this town.
I once won a fruit cart from a guy playing high card. This is very pleasant indeed, handling apples, pears, and even cassava melons. But the copper stole me blind lifting apples while I slept.
Yeah. Hey, Heine Schmidt is getting along with his wildcat butter plant since price control sets him. Maybe you could hustle a little butter.
Anything with Heine is a very temporary proposition, as he's only killing time until prohibition comes back. Nah, Benny, it's no use. I've made up my mind.
To do what?
I'm going to scrag myself.
Scrag yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Scragging yourself is a very serious proposition that needs considering now, as thinking about it afterwards would have little, if any, effect.
The world is packing enough weight without me.
Yeah, but it's against the law to commit suicide.
I consider that. But what the law can do to a guy who knocks himself off, I'm not able to figure out.
Oh, Feet. You realize you are putting me in a very embarrassing spot.
If you're worrying about guaranteeing me for that 50 I owe to Brain, I already consider it. In fact, that is why I've been toying with a certain proposition which was put to me yesterday. It comes from a high-shot doctor I have met from Park Avenue.
How does this happen?
It is really remarkable. It seems by accident he wanders in and sits by me here in Minty's.
Yeah?
At first, I do not care to associate with him freely, as he's a fierce-looking old guy with his face covered with whiskers that stick out every which way and whose eyes peek out of those whiskers, very wild indeed.
Yeah, there's something surprising the customers you find in this place.
Yeah, but he's friendly. In fact, he even knows my name, which I cannot figure unless there is gossip of my personality which has reached the Park Avenue. Though this, I do not ask him to explain. And soon we are talking of this and that.
Yes, sir. And if you don't mind, tell me more of your problems. I am strangely interested.
Well, Doc, it seems I'm in a very hot spot one way and another. I'm always owing and always paying off.
I see.
So it has come to the point where I conclude I must scrag myself. I'll leave this wicked old wild.
Feet, if you have honestly made up your mind to do this, I've got an idea which will round off everything fine.
Then, Doc, let us not dilly-dally.
Well, doctors now and then wish a body to practice on. And good bodies are not always easy to get. Perhaps you could work out an arrangement for payment before delivery.
Doc, this is very unusual to me. How much do you think I'm worth?
Well, I'm not sure offhand, but if you're interested, come in and see me. Yes, drop in any time.
Yes, Feet, I can see this proposition has considerable merit indeed.
Then I can square up with everybody and have a few bob to the good.
I don't mind telling you, the deal has certain fascinations.
Instead of scragging myself at a loss, I end up with a net profit.
Yeah, suppose the doc wishes credit preferences that you'll show up on the slab before he puts his dough out.
I thought of that already. Didn't you guarantee me to the Brain?
Then I am also to guarantee you to the Croaker.
It will be thoughtful and kind, Ben.
Yeah.
I cannot see how I can do otherwise.
I appreciate your friendly gesture. Yes, Ben, maybe someday I'll do the same for you. Personally, I feel very peculiar at this moment. I have never been in this kind of establishment before.
For our purposes, it is extremely high class.
That also makes me uncomfortable. Ben?
Yeah?
How much do you think my body will bring, as is?
Well, I figure, considering the shape you're in, 200 at least.
Why, that's a piker's price. As big as I am, I ought to be worth at least a half G dead weight.
Well, maybe they buy bodies by the pound feet. I frankly do not know, as I am a green hand at this kind of a deal. Here is Doc Bodica's office. Leave us go in, huh?
Well?
We would like to see Doc Bodica.
Is he expecting you?
Personally, I'm not sure, but...
It doesn't matter. He probably won't see you anyway. Sit down.
Thanks.
What a gruesome-looking Jew.
Which is the patient?
He is.
I'll fill out a card for him. Name, please.
Feet Samuels. The doc knows me.
Oh, has the doctor treated you before?
No, but when he does, I'll be kind of a special case.
Well, I must warn you that the doctor takes very little practice these days.
That's what we want to see him about, some practice.
And I've already had some talk with him about a matter which is very important and somewhat urgent.
Oh, all right. You can go in. Go through that door.
I'm much obliged. Hi, Doc.
How do you do, gentlemen? Yes, yes. Come in. Come in.
Doctor, I've come in answer to your proposition.
My proposition? Oh, yes. I remember. You are Feet Samuels?
Uh-huh. And this is my pal, Big Ben.
Oh, yes, yes. Very nice.
Likewise.
My, I am glad to see you.
You've struck a windfall, Doc.
I beg your pardon.
I mean about your practice. We've got what you're shy of.
Really?
Yeah, something to practice on. Doc, it's a deal we talked about yesterday.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes, of course. Then you have thought it over?
I've given the matter considerable weight. Due to circumstances beyond my control, I have got to scrag myself. You need some practice, so it's a good promotion all around.
Well, while I regard it as a very remarkable opportunity, naturally there are a few questions to ask.
Well, Doc, it's a bargain at any price because Feet's body will afford as much practice as two run-of-the-mill bodies.
But how could I be sure of getting a delivery on him?
Well, Feet never runs out on a deal, and I will personally guarantee delivery. If he welches, he will never be able to live in this town amongst high-class people.
He'd have to come through or go away forever. You'll guarantee that?
Right. But we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves about price.
How much?
$500?
Absurd. I'll give $100?
I do not wish to peddle myself at bargain basement prices. If I'm not pressed for time, I do not doubt I could get at least 4 C's by shopping around a little.
Perhaps. But you must knock off something for defects. Take your head, for example. It's shaped like a Bartlett pear.
Oh, that's nothing. He wears his hat a little tight.
If I could get that cowlick combed down, you would not consider my head pointed.
Yeah, make it 300, Doc. Feet has never had an operation. You get everything. Tonsils, adenoids, and all.
This ain't nothing. $8 worth of gold in my teeth.
Well, if I can have him with his shoes on, it's a deal. They'll be fine to plant nasturtiums in.
You got the money on you, Doc?
Yes, but when do I get the body?
Just as soon as Feet's through with it.
Not later than March 15th.
Can you make up by then, Feet?
Yeah, that'll give me time to clean up a few odds and ends.
Okay, then it's in a date, Doc. And thanks for helping us out.
Yes, yes. Don't forget March 15th.
Okay, Doc, I'll remember. With such enthusiasm for my body, I suddenly find myself working up a case of hyperacidity.
Don't talk yourself into something, Feet. After all, you should enjoy yourself these last few days.
Well, if that is so, I figure I should feed myself up a little so I don't cheat the doc on weight.
Feet, it is true what they say. You are a very honorable guy.
That is the kindest remark I hear all day.
After you square up with the brain, what are you going to do with all that sugar?
Well, maybe I should slip a bracelet or two on Hortense and then...
I hear Long George is playing a little low ball over at Mindy's.
Might risk a few bob at Long George to see if my luck is holding.
I got a hunch when you get 3 C's from Doc for what we passed off as a body, your luck will stand at least a chucker or two.
This is a solid remark you make, Ben. I would like to run a sum I'm now holding up to maybe a half a G.
At least.
Then I could toss the boys a farewell wake and leave a few mementos to Hortense before old Doc Bodica forecloses.
What you say makes sense. And a good wake at the hot box would be very pleasant. So let us go find Long George and investigate this hunch.
Well, you never know your luck. Every type of business Feet engaged in that week, he came out on top. Roulette, chuckala, dice.
Hey, you had her in the stove tonight, Feet.
Don't crowd me, Ben. Don't crowd me.
Stud poker.
Raise you 100 without looking.
This I gotta see.
The nags.
Hey, look at that, Feet. One couldn't come up from behind and done it.
Of course, I bet on him tonight.
Feet couldn't lose. A couple of nights later, he is down at Eddie the Pig's joint, playing head-and-head with Nathan Detroit and some other high shots, when he suddenly discovers he ain't got pockets enough to hold his dough. This keeps up until the night of his farewell wake. As he sits with Hortense in the hot box, Feet is ahead a cool $18,000.
The nicest brawl I've been at since Lightfinger Louie was elected councilman.
It was very nice of Henri to run in that corned beef. All the way from Saratoga, too.
And these bracelets. There's more here than I ever got from anybody.
Now you know why I measured your arm lengthwise.
Yeah. To get them all the way up to my elbow was a very unusual idea.
There's another piece I ordered from Harry the Slant that ought to be ready in a day or two. It's coming from Buffalo.
All the way from Buffalo?
Yeah, it's practically imported. Harry expected to pick it up in Albany, but it seems the party Harry is getting it off of does not sleep very sound and...
You are teasing me. Tell me, what is it?
It's a beautiful ring. Big as a nut, with a ruby the size of a postman's bunion.
Oh, Feet, you say the most beautiful things.
It's the inspiration you throw off, sugar. Tonight I'm inclined to speak of love and one thing and another.
This is your night, Dumpling. Whatever you have to say, I will listen.
Maybe a light workout would help the mood I'm feeling. Do you wish to dance?
No, Sugar Pie. The dance floor is so crowded that if I should faint, it would be at least an hour before I could fall.
Yeah, you might be right at that.
Feet. You don't seem exactly yourself tonight. Is something disturbing you?
It's the date, I guess. March 15th.
Do you mind if I ask you something?
No. Ask.
How come you're so well-heeled all of a sudden?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I closed a deal which nets a little scratch, and every day since, I've been doing nicely, which includes beating Long George at lowball, and till now, I hold 18 Gs.
Uh-huh. That reminds me. Have you ever considered settling in with an ever-loving wife to keep you company?
If it were not for this deal I speak of, I would put up such a proposition to you. But certain commitments choke off entertaining such an idea.
I could learn to love you, Feet. Especially with all that sugar you're holding.
I would dearly love to shake hands with you on a matrimony proposition in which I could haul off and marry you. But I am figuring all the time you were going to tie in with this other guy who's been tossing all them bracelets at you.
Such an idea calls for a bicarb. While it is true I collect a few tokens from him, I will not marry him if I have to go back to jerking sodas.
Such a remark warms the crackles of my heart.
Pardon, Monsieur Feet, but there is a gentleman at the table with Monsieur Brain and Monsieur Benny who wishes to see you.
Toss him out for crashing a private wake. Now, sweetie pie, what were you saying?
I better see what this guy wants. I'll be back before you can polish off a boiled potato.
Well, hurry, sweetie.
Oh, ho! There you are, you swindler.
Doc Bodica, take it easy. This wake you crashed is my final send-off. March 15th isn't up for at least 15 minutes, and my watch may be a little fast. Hello, Ben. Hello, Brain.
I guaranteed delivery on you, Feet.
Yeah, and I understand this croaker bought you when you were flat. Now, remember, if he didn't give you that dough, I'd have been out looking for you for that half a C.
What you say is true, and Doc here knows only yesterday I offered to buy myself back for 5 C's, a clean $200 profit to Doc, but he won't budge.
I do not wish to sell you back to yourself. Your pear-shaped head fascinates me, and your facial expression is not unlike the missing link. Besides, I want your shoes for my nasturtiums.
Now, I know you don't want to spoil the party by taking a powder and putting a black mark against your credit fee.
I put the proposition up to a lawyer who tells me he does not think the deal will hold up in court. But I do not wish to go to court because the last time in court, I'm held as a material witness for 10 days in the clink.
Well, personally, I consider this a very dishonorable idea. What with me and Benny practically underwriting this proposition, the least you can do is to turn up on that slab as per agreement.
I must admit that since I'm in front 18 G's, the proposition has lost some of its appeal. In fact, all of it.
You have less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, so you won't feel self-conscious, Pete. We will turn our backs whilst you kick yourself off.
Sure, a sidle of Friday Joe's homemade scotch will get you under the deadline.
Say, what's the idea of letting me... Oh, you.
My darling little lambkin.
Hortense, I see you already know Doc Bodega.
No one. He's the lug that's been giving me those bracelets, trying to induce me to matrimony.
This changes the odds.
This scratches the horse.
Park yourself, Horty, right here by me. Things may be looking up.
The situation is unchanged, except your time is up.
What's he talking about?
It's like this, Horty. I peddle myself to this guy for 3 C's, so I have a little tour to get you a few trinkets and eat out for a few times before I scrag myself.
You do this for me?
As I live and take a few last breaths, that is why I dodged the matrimony proposition you made me tonight.
Nobody I know ever makes such a sacrifice as to hock their body for me. Never mind this deal. This old fool was pulling a fast one.
Now, wait a minute,
Horton. Slam you before I chuck a moth in your whiskers.
You don't look so good, Doc. The guarantee's off.
Now, wait a minute, my friends. I am a widower of long standing and not a crackpot, as you may suspect. Although I have relatives that will give you an argument on the latter point. You see, I fell madly in love with Hortense when I saw her play the part of the sunflower in the scandals. When I arranged to have Feet Samuels come to my office 2 weeks ago, I had the idea that if I make a deal to buy his body, he will wait until the time comes and then run away and leave Hortense for me. When I heard he was here tonight, I thought I could frighten him into leaving.
The proposition has taken a funny twist.
If Feet will give me back my money and Hortense will return the presents, I would be happy to forget the whole thing.
Well, now, that sounds like a reasonable offer.
Here is your 3 C's.
Thanks.
The bracelets I keep. After all, I put in a lot of time with this foul ball.
Then let me have just one little bracelet. There's a beautiful hat-check girl at a certain nightclub that I may wish to marry.
I'll just hold on to it till she says yes. Then I'll give her one little bracelet as a wedding present from you to me to her.
Thank you, Hortense.
All right, come on, Doc. Me and Benny will take you over to Mindy's for a cup of coffee and a Bismarck herring.
Goodbye, Hortense. I shall always remember you most fondly.
Don't linger, you two-timer.
So long, boys.
And that's so long, Pete. Be safe.
Alone at last. Now, what were you saying?
Now that my health is again worth considering, let's get out of this smoke pot.
Not till you tell me. It was about love, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see if I can find the words.
Say anything. I'll answer yes.
Well, when I first seen you, I fell in love with a pretty face. Now I wish to marry the whole girl.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Damon Runyon's A Very Honorable Guy, as adapted for radio by John Morrow. The original musical score was composed and conducted by John Gart. The cast included John Gibson, Elspeth Eric, Ed Begley, Jack Hartley, Joe DeSantis, Larry Haynes, Millard Mitchell, and Janet Fox. Jack Mosman produced and directed today's program for the Columbia Workshop. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present an original cantata entitled The Last Speech, with a score by Lou Cooper and a libretto arranged by Carl Carmer with excerpts from Stephen Vincent Benet. Albert Ward will direct for the workshop. Your announcer is Sandy Becker.
Do you have a little sum of money that you'd like to invest, a nest egg that you'd like to see grow bigger? Maybe the stock market has looked pretty good to you lately, but nobody knows how long it'll stay that way. There are any number of investments, any number of propositions waiting for your hard-earned cash. But none of them is as safe as United States savings bonds, the same bonds you formerly bought as war bonds. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.